Do you wake up feeling grumpy, lacking energy, maybe just feeling a little bit worn out? Well, perhaps you need better sleep. Now, that does seem much easier said than done. Oh, just, you know, get a better sleep, get a good night's sleep. Well, for a lot of people, it is really tough. So think about all the factors that can interfere with a good night's sleep. You've got pressure at work, family responsibilities, just general stress, challenges in your life. So it is no wonder that quality sleep can sometimes be elusive. And although you might not be able to control all the factors that interfere with your sleep, you can adopt habits that encourage better sleep. On the line, I have Dr. Sarah Biggs. She's a research fellow at the Monash Institute of Medical Research, and she focuses on all things sleep related. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Jamie.
How are you? Have you had a good sleep?
I did actually last night. It was very nice. I had a study, but I managed to get a few hours sleep, which was good.
Okie dokie. Now, just quickly, if you're listening to this and you have a question for Sarah, feel free to give me a call, 9514 9500. I can put your sleep question to Sarah, or you can tweet us at 2SER. So I'm a funny sleeper, Sarah. I'm all over the place when it comes to sleep. I kind of grab it wherever I can because I'm working a few jobs. But one thing I'm notoriously bad at is hitting the snooze button. I'm really bad. I'll snooze for, like, I don't know, maybe 35 minutes and just repeatedly hitting it every 5 minutes. That's a bad idea, isn't it?
Well, what you're actually doing is you're disrupting that end of your sleep. And you're disrupting. So if you can sleep for those extra 35 minutes, you're better off not having a snooze button and just delaying your alarm and getting up when the alarm gets up. Goes off, because you're interrupting your rapid eye movement or your dream sleep, which is really quite important for us for things like memory consolidation, energy generation, all of those types of things. So by interrupting that, you might end up a little bit more sleepy during the day.
Right, okay. One of the other big misconceptions, or maybe it's not a misconception, is there such thing as sleep debt, where if you get a night where, say, you only manage 3 hours sleep, you've then got to pay that back later on?
Absolutely. So our bodies biologically need a certain amount of sleep. And everybody asks, well, what is that number? What's the magic number for sleep? And we don't actually know. There really is no magic number. It's whatever your body needs. So some people can get by quite nicely on 6 hours sleep. Other people need 9 hours sleep. So it really depends on your body. But if you don't get that biological, if you don't meet that biological need for sleep, whatever that is for you, then you build up what's called a sleep debt. And then you will have to pay that back at some stage, or else you will really start to feel that in how you perform during the day, in terms of, you know, how your brain works, how you, even your physically, in terms of, you know, you could start becoming clumsy, making more mistakes, those types of things.
Right, okay. And I suppose one of the other things is people will say is, you know, oh, I'm not a morning person, you know, I'm more of a night person. Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we have, our sleep is regulated by two interacting systems, and one is the circadian rhythm, which is our body clock. And our body clocks are naturally timed, again, biologically. They rely a lot on light and dark cycles. But some people's body clocks are early and some people's body clocks are late. And so some people are morning people and other people are night people. And it's just that's a biological thing.
So that is a true thing. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. If you've just joined us, I'm here with Dr. Sarah Biggs. She is from the Monash Institute of Medical Research. She's a research fellow there, should I say, not a sleep fellow. So, Sarah, I mean, what would your tips be before? Actually, no, I'll get to that in just a second. But I've heard that technology in the bedroom is really, really bad. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a couple reasons for that. The first reason is that it's stimulating. So, you know, if you're on your iPad or on your smartphone and you're playing a game or even socializing, you have stimulation. So that makes it a little bit more difficult to go to sleep because of the stimulation. But the other thing is that all of these electronic devices emit what is called blue light, and that's just a certain spectrum of light. And blue light is our most alerting light. So when our when the blue light hits the back of our eyes, basically it triggers our bodies to say, okay, it's time to be awake.
Right.
It's one of the things that we use to set our body clock, I guess. And so it's very alerting to have those devices right in front of your face just before you go to sleep.
Okay, so technology bad. Is there like a time limit when you should be turning off the phone or putting the phone away, the laptop away?
Yeah, probably about half an hour before you're ready to go to bed. So our body's circadian rhythm loves regularity, loves routine. So if you can get yourself into a routine where you're going to bed the same time every night, you go backwards from that half an hour and you start a bedtime routine where you turn off all electronic devices, you turn the lights down low, you know, brush your teeth, all of those types of things. But do some kind of quiet activity, so whether it be reading a book or, you know, some people like to do those adult colouring books, just something that's really quiet and sort of meditative, I guess, almost, then your body will start to go, okay, it's time for me now to go to sleep. And then within that next half an hour, you then go to bed and, as I said, try and make it the same time every night. Most people will find that they fall asleep fairly quickly after that.
Dr. Sarah Biggs is with me, and I'm just fascinated by this. She's a sleep expert talking to us about the things you can do to help your body sleep. Now, I'm working, you know, several jobs, and so I'm trying to slide in naps in the afternoon, and I find that I'm often waking up after the nap, and I go, you know what, I think I'm more tired than before I had the nap. Are naps good or bad?
Well, again, there's a couple of reasons for that. So the first reason is probably because you have built up quite a bit of sleep debt. And so when you start to have a nap, your body's going, oh, thank goodness, I can pay back some of this sleep debt that I have. But because you're only having a nap and you're not getting a full sleep, you're not paying back that sleep debt. So you're waking up a little bit. So you're waking up sort of fuzzy and tired. The other reason is if we have naps, and this goes for people who, have... Say, for example, they're not paying back a sleep debt, but they're just having, a siesta. If your sleep is longer than about 20 minutes, you will go into a deep sleep.
Right.
And if you have to wake up when you're in a deep sleep, you experience what we call sleep inertia, which is kind of like, it's that real grogginess when you wake up and you're fuzzy and you can't get going. And it takes between 30 to 60 minutes to actually get going again. And that's just because of the stage of sleep that you've woken up in.
So could you have a nap for, say, like 19 minutes and then wake up and be okay?
Yes. So the optimal time that research has shown, the optimal time for a nap is 20 minutes.
Wow, okay.
So if you have a 20-minute nap, And it's perfect to recharge your batteries.
Okay. One of the other things, I suppose, is if you're having a drink in the evening and then you head off to bed, is that going to affect your sleep?
Yeah, so alcohol's a funny one. So alcohol will help you get to sleep, but it's really, really bad for staying asleep.
Right.
So you would... So people who have a drink before they go to bed. I mean, and one or two glasses of wine is fine. We're not talking about one or two glasses of wine. We're talking about, you know, having a boozy night. You will fall asleep quickly, but then you'll tend to wake up in the middle of the night and not be able to go back to sleep. So you don't get a really good night's sleep after you've had a drink.
I could talk to you all day, but I do have the news bearing down upon me. But Sarah Biggs, thank you so much for joining us this morning and putting to bed some of those misconceptions.
You're most welcome.
You have a good rest. Have a good sleep. 20 minutes.
Thank you.
All right. Too. That's Dr. Sarah Biggs there from the Monash Institute of Medical Research talking to us about sleep. Oh, God, I just find it fascinating, the whole thing. I have to get her on sometime to talk about dreams because dreams freak me out.